Gospel Misunderstandings, number 17, is what we'll be getting into tonight. Paul's manner, it's a statement there in Acts 17, 2 and 3, about Paul's manner. And the sequence of the Gospels is what we'll be looking at in particular. And just a reminder, 1 Thessalonians chapters 2 and 3 shows which Gospel Paul preached at which time, let me rephrase that. 1 Thessalonians chapters 2 and 3 show which Gospels the Thessalonians got to hear at which times. Okay, first time in Acts 17 by Paul, they heard the Gospel of God, and the second time would be when Paul sent back Timothy after they got kicked out of town and he couldn't share the Gospel of Christ with them. Paul sent back Timothy to share the Gospel of Christ with them, and with good results. But that was in 1 Thessalonians 3, 1 through 7. We don't hear about that in Acts. Not directly. I'm running a parallel here in these lessons that shows the parallel between Acts 17 and 1 Thessalonians chapters 2 and 3 especially. So, but there are some people that try to discredit the literal understanding of 1 Thessalonians chapters 2 and 3 and the Gospels that Paul specifies in those chapters, calling them by name and telling when he preached them, especially the Gospel of God. So, and this was all, we talked about it yesterday, Thessalonica under the microscope. You can dissect it because it's separated. I mean, the Lord allowed it to be a part happened, and then there had to be a stop. Paul was kicked out of town and couldn't do the next step. He sent back Timothy to do the next step. And then after Timothy, Paul heard back from Timothy that they had believed, and then Paul says he wants to perfect their faith. Go on and help them in being established. As you recall, Romans 16, 25 and 26, the three things that establish you start with being saved, starts with Paul's gospel. But after that, there's the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery instead of according to prophecy in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's the revelation of the mystery that we preach Jesus Christ by. And there's a lot of studying to be approved of God and not ashamed that goes on there in those, in that the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. But these people who try and discredit that literal understanding of those chapters, they say that we, Bible believers, claim that Timothy's ministering of the gospel of Christ, being sent back to minister the gospel of Christ, we claim that was an advancement of the gospel, a good news of a new and different program, different from the gospel of God that Paul preached in Acts 17, verse 3, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ or Messiah. So they misunderstand the passage, both the passage and our teaching of the passage. We do not teach or believe that. I have to say it, that's a straw man they're putting up. They have to know that we don't believe that. And anyway, we don't believe it. Paul began preaching the gospel of Christ as the gospel of salvation to the Jews and Jew blessers at least as early as Acts 13, verse 38. So it was not an advancement of a new program at that point, at the time of Acts 17 or later in 1 Thessalonians. It was not an advancement of a new program or a new saving message. He preached the same saving message from his salvation until now, it's still the same. So at a later time, though, after Acts 17, the visit to Thessalonica, in Acts 20, verse 6, there was an advancement of Paul's sending, not of the gospel, but of his sending, Christ's sending of Paul, his apostleship. There was an advancement with the same saving message, though. But it was extending it from the gospel of Christ being sent to the Jews and the Jew blessers, extending it to all men as the gospel of the grace of God, which we are saved by today. Same saving message, but that's what it's called today, the gospel of the grace of God. And just after that extension, Paul revealed the ministry which I have received of the Lord, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Well, testifying, that's in the text of the scriptures there, to testify the gospel of the grace of God, testifying is a type of dispensing. It's letting it out. It's spreading it far and wide. Dispensing it. So, that means that 18 verses later, after Acts 20 verse 6, departing from Macedonia, or sailing away from Philippi, Macedonia, we see in Acts 20, verse 24, it's the Bible's first revealing of the testifying or dispensing of the gospel of the grace of God, the dispensation of the gospel. Excuse me, the dispensation of the grace of God. And that's what... Well, let's look at verse 24 in Acts 20. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. Paul wanted to finish that which he'd already started, his course. And then additionally, he says, and the ministry which I've received of the Lord to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Notice that Paul's earlier calling was to the work, starting in Acts 13, verse 2, I think it is. The Lord calls him to the work, and he states that in Acts 13:41. But starting in Acts 20, verse 6, a little later on, Paul's calling is to the ministry that he has received. And the ministry I received of the Lord to testify the gospel of the grace of God. To place the start of the dispensation of the gospel, dispensation of the grace of God before that time when the Bible says was the beginning of the gospel, before the time that the Bible mentions it, there is to go beyond what is written. I mean, it just doesn't say that anything about the gospel of the grace of God or it being to all men before Acts 20, verse 6. And we can see that the gospel of God was described for Israel as early as Matthew 16, verse 16. And I'll read that in a minute, but for Paul... Later on, it was described as early as Acts 9, verse 20, the gospel of God. He preaches it, parts of it. And that's when it started. It never ends, though. The facts about who Jesus is, it doesn't end. He's still the Son of God. He's still the Messiah. And he still is resurrected from the dead. But look at Matthew 16:16, the beginning of the preaching of the gospel of God to Israel. Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So, and, you know, the resurrection is not mentioned there, but five verses later, the Lord adds it. He says that he'll be going to Jerusalem and be killed and rise again the third day. And here in Acts 9, verse 20, straightway he preached Christ. Well, it was Jesus. So, Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. The gospel of Christ to the Jew first started in Acts 13 with the sending of Paul and first preached in Acts 38-39 in that area. It ended, according to Philippians 4:15, that gospel of Christ to the Jew first and also to the Greek ended in Acts 20, verse 6, when was that extension of his sending. Not of the gospel, but of his sending. His sending, and it was not, you know, his early sending to the Jew first was not restricting him to the Jew first, it was sending him to the Jews. Okay? He was not restricted from preaching to other people that I can find anywhere. So let's look at those verses. Acts 13:38 and 39. Be it known. Now, Paul has just described in Acts 13, verses 28, 29, and 30, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And then from 30 to 37, he preaches about the gospel of God. And so here he goes on and he says, be it known unto you therefore, because of what he already preached, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. What they knew about was the remission of sins to a later time. But this is, Paul is preaching the forgiveness of sins. And by him, by Christ, all that believe are justified from all things. It doesn't say all that believe and keep the law, all that believe and are circumcised, all that believe and go to church, all that believe and behave. It says all that believe. That's the only criteria. Are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. And you can see the two ways to be justified there. One that worked and one that didn't before it. Let's go to Philippians. This is about the change. Those first two verses were about the change from Paul merely preaching the gospel of God, and when he started preaching, or is recorded as having started preaching the gospel of Christ. And that went until Acts 20, verse 6, according to Philippians 4:15, which we'll read. Now you Philippians know that, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. Well, Paul says in Acts 20, verse 6, and we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. So it says he sailed away from Philippi. Well, Philippi, we find in Acts 16:12, is the major city, the chief city, in that part of Macedonia. So when he sailed away from Philippi, he was sailing away from Macedonia, departing from Macedonia. And that's what Philippians 4:15 said. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, that was the beginning of a gospel. What gospel? It was the beginning of this gospel, the gospel message that he had been preaching, but it was Paul's sending to all men. The gospel of Christ ended by being renamed the gospel of the grace of God being extended to all men, with that name change to identify the change in the target audience. The gospel of the grace of God began in Acts 20, verse 6, according to Philippians 4:15 that we just read, and it will end at the catching up of the body of Christ. So the advancement, that advancement in Christ's sending of Paul from the gospel of God to the gospel of Christ came in Acts 13:38, and the advancement in Christ's sending of Paul from the gospel of Christ to the gospel of the grace of God came in Acts 20, verse 6. And you got Acts 13 and then Acts 20. Neither of those advancements occurred in Thessalonica, though, in Paul's specific preaching, as we've been dissecting the 1 Thessalonians 3, especially, you know, He was sent, Timothy was sent in in 1 Thessalonians 3, 1 and verses 1 and 2. And we'll get to reading those in a little bit. But that was actually the next step in what the Bible calls Paul's manner, or Paul's mode of operation. Comparing Scripture with Scripture, we find that Paul's manner was to, let me give you a list here, as I see them anyway, of six things. The Bible doesn't go, firstly, here's this, secondly, that. But this is the pattern. This is what happened. He went to a city, first of all. Secondly, went to where the Jews met for their Sabbath meeting. Thirdly, he preached to them the gospel of God. Fourthly, he separated out into Paul's meeting those who believed the gospel of God. Fifthly, he preached to those gospel of God believers the gospel of Christ, which is the gospel of salvation. And sixthly, well, for it's a split six, 6A we'll call it, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 17 to 20, those called in circumcision, still at that time, and that's one of the things that stopped in Acts 28, along with the diminishing of Israel, but those called in circumcision in Israel's doctrine, they believed the circumcision gospel and became the circumcision, as it's called in the Bible, and they met separately under whoever, I don't know, Peter or whoever would meet with them. They were not in the synagogues anymore, though, because they believed that Jesus was the Christ. 6b, those called in uncircumcision, Paul's message, they believed Paul's gospel of Christ, and they were baptized by one Spirit into the one body of Christ and met together in Paul's meetings. Some believed, and some believed not. So, again, the gospel of God is God's testimony as to who Jesus is, the resurrected Messiah. The gospel of Christ, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, is God's good news that people are saved by receiving to their own need, their own lack of life, their own condemnation, receiving Christ's salvation from their condemnation in God's wrath. The gospel of the grace of God is God's good news sent to all men that you can be saved. You can. By receiving to your own need Christ's salvation from your condemnation that you and I are under, condemnation of God's wrath. It's, in other words, it's the same. It's just that we're not in those Jews and Greeks that were Paul's first sending up until Acts 20. In Acts 20, there was a change in the name of the gospel of salvation, from the gospel of Christ to the gospel of the grace of God, but it retained the same saving message. So Paul preached the same saving message from Acts 13 till his death, with an audience change and name change occurring during his preaching, during his lifetime. And it occurred when Christ sent Paul to all men to preach that salvation message at the beginning of the gospel that Paul talked about. And that would be in Acts 20, verse 6. Paul's visit and preaching to Thessalonica in Acts 17 and 18, it wasn't an advancement. It was a continuation of the same saving message and gospel content. Those people who try to impose a straw man argument against what the verses say are introducing the word advancement to describe Paul having sent Timothy to minister unto them in Thessalonica the gospel of Christ, that they might be saved. That's in 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 2. But, they try to introduce this term advancement And then they show that the gospel of Christ is not an advancement at that time, but a continuation of what is shown to be the gospel of Christ to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So it's either a subconscious trick or a just plain trick that they're introducing this straw man so they can blow him away and make it sound like we're believing false doctrine when we're believing strictly what the Bible says. The gospel of Christ is mentioned in Galatians 1:7. If you want to go to 1 Thessalonians, it's mentioned in 1 Thessalonians 3:2. In 1 Corinthians, it's 1 Corinthians 9:18, 2 Corinthians 10:14, and of course Romans 1:16. Acts period epistles, early epistles, before he was sent to all men. Specifically in Thessalonica, Paul preached the gospel of God in Acts 17, verses 1 through 4, and we've read that before. But the apostate Jews running the synagogue, they rebelled and they ran Paul out of town when he came to Thessalonica and preached the gospel of God, that Jesus is the Christ and that he's risen from the dead. That was against what they all believed. They ran him out of town before he could preach the gospel of Christ to the believers that believed that Jesus was the risen Messiah. When they left, Paul sent back Timothy back to Thessalonica to minister the gospel of Christ to those gospel of God believers to establish them, to bring them along and give them knowledge and assurance of their salvation by the gospel of Christ. In 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 6 and 7, Paul was distressed and afflicted until he heard back from Timothy that the Thessalonians had believed the gospel of salvation, that Timothy ministered to them, the gospel of Christ. Let's look at those verses and then we'll go to the next section. 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 6 and 7. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Verse 7. Therefore, because of these good tidings of your faith, therefore, brethren, we were comforted. Comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. So he didn't know that they were saved until he had left Thessalonica. He had sent back Timothy, his fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish them by preaching the gospel of salvation to them. And then Timothy came back and reported to Paul what happened. At that point, Paul realized they're saved now. So they didn't get to hear the gospel of salvation when Paul was at Thessalonica. They heard it when Timothy was sent back with the gospel of salvation. And that verifies the names of the gospel. That at first, Paul preached the gospel of God about who Jesus is. And later, whatever town he was in got to hear the gospel of Christ. I should say the believers in the gospel of God got to hear the gospel of Christ and be saved if they believed it. So, let's talk about being set apart and about salvation and about being established. Those three thoughts. Salvation is one thing. Sanctified or set apart is sometimes mixed up with salvation, although they're not the same. Being established includes salvation, according to Romans 16, 25 and 26. Paul had taken on God's will as his own will. And we find God's will, a well-known verse there in 1 Timothy 2, verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Paul preached the gospel of God to the Jews and Greeks at Thessalonica, and some believed. Then Timothy preached the gospel of Christ to the gospel of God believers at Timothy, and some believed. Some of those gospel of God believers believed the gospel of Christ. In other words, it's a smaller and smaller segment of the whole group in Thessalonica. And when Paul heard of their faith in the gospel of Christ, he prayed that he might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. And that's where we had to leave off yesterday, wasn't it? With an unclear understanding of what that is. He's not saying that their faith didn't save them, that they didn't have strong enough faith to be saved or anything like that. And Paul wants to perfect their faith and bring them up to the standard that God requires or something like that. No, I'm not teaching that. I'm just saying that's not what Paul meant. Paul's preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. That's what he's talking about there, to perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Preaching Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, so that they would be established by an understanding of who they are in Christ. Christ in you. And I have that. I brought it up here somewhere. Oh, I'm going to try and play that after the lesson. Who are you in Christ as a saved individual? It would have fit in good, the last lesson, but I didn't have it handy. I do somewhere here, and we'll get it during the song at the end here. But that's the working out of what Paul said to the Romans in Romans 1, 11, and 12, in a different situation, but it was the same type of situation, and it'll illustrate to us what was going on in Thessalonica when Paul said to perfect their faith, that which is lacking in their faith. So let's look in Romans 1, verses 11 and 12. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established. A gift is something given. So he wants to give them a spiritual gift, something spiritual, to the end that they may be established. Verse 12, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Mutual means back and forth, likewise type of faith. And they didn't have that. He wanted to be comforted when they had the same kind of faith that Paul had. They didn't. The Romans had a faith, but it wasn't the faith. It wasn't faith in the gospel of Christ. It was faith in the gospel of God. If you look back in Romans 1:8, Paul says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." So Paul wanted to establish them in the gospel of Christ and further their edification, as in Romans chapters 6, 7, and 8, that come right after the salvation chapters of 1 through 5. Chapters 6, 7, and 8 are how to live as a saved person, not as a lost, condemned person that hasn't been placed or baptized into the body of Christ. So that's the end of my notes for this lesson. I've got more to go, but any questions or comments?